Hello there. We're Vincent Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul, Rand McNally.
We've recently released our family's first almanac in over 50 years, and now we're setting out on a new journey.
Using Rand's old travel journal as our guide, we're visiting his 20 all-time favorite towns.
We'll be counting down the greats as given by our great-great-grandfather and want you, the listener, to come along for the ride.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map. This week's episode of These Parts is brought to you by Adventure. I'm one of your hosts, obviously, Elliot McNally. With me, as he is every week, is my brother and my traveling companion, Vince McNally. Vince, how's it going?
Elliot, I'll be honest. I don't know if I've missed a memorandum or maybe I was late to the weekly RV meeting, but I don't know what adventure is. I know the word, obviously, adventure. It's a common term that many people over the age of 10 know, but I don't. Is this a company? Is it a product?
No, Vince. Obviously, we wouldn't have anybody sponsoring this show. And you weren't late to the weekly RV meeting because it's in the exact spot that we always are in this RV. I was merely speaking colorfully because I'm excited about this town.
Oh, cool. I was worried it was another different cut of MeUndies that I hadn't been brought abreast of.
Coincidentally, there is another brand of underwear that has been sponsoring a lot of podcasts called Adventure without an E. It's for the adventurer. You know, it's underwear that you can wear for 5 years at a time. We weren't able to snag that sponsorship, unfortunately. So there may be a legality snafu that I've just unwillingly led us into. But again, I was just trying to speak colorfully because I'm excited about the town we're in today.
Elliot, their disinclination letter said that we were somehow too grody for their product. Doesn't bode well for us. We'll have to reevaluate the shower situation here in the RV. But until then, we are on a mission, perhaps a quest. That's the word I'm looking for. It's one that transcends the current age and goes all the way back to a more mysterious time. In not only American history, but world history.
That's right, Vince. I think we should decode this a little bit more and put this town we're in on the map.
So listeners, bequeath upon thine wall the and only the Rand McNally U.S. Medallion Holsters Maparandum.
That seems about 80% right.
We're getting there. Maparandum, I've made that up on the fly, but I really think it should have some staying power.
It seems pretty spot on. That was the 80% I was thinking.
Great. I'm not sure the math works out, but listeners, however you care to do it, make sure that you have a map up and make sure you're reaching for the Northeast because we're putting a medallion in Charlemagne.
Guys, Charlemagne is purported to be and has been for a long time the resting grounds of the Roman Emperor Charlemagne. People have thought this for centuries. Our great-great-grandfather Rand McNally thought this. He was enveloped and ensconced in a quest of his own, trying to decode exactly where these burial grounds were for a period in his life. It was about a year, right, Vince, that he was here?
Absolutely, it was. Listeners, it's no oddity. A historian obsessed with some of the more romantic mysteries left in world history. Some may search for the bones of a saint, others for the Holy Grail. King Charlemagne, the emperor that united the second and last Holy Roman Empire, is a figment in history with some great degree of importance. And the notion that his remains, undiscovered and unknown, the whereabouts as they are, could have made it all the way over to the colonies is something quite tantalizing.
This week, more than usual events. I mean, I always feel like we're sort of in Rand McNally's shoes traveling the world, but he had a different pair of shoes that he would wear when he was on a particularly interesting adventure. Something that these steel-toed boots they were that he would put on, lace up, and set out to accomplish a task, an amazing accomplishment it would have been to actually stumble upon these ancient burial grounds. Unfortunately, he never did. Maybe we'll have a little more luck today talking to our special guest for this week. He is an adventurer and treasure hunter in town. Would you introduce yourself?
Hi.
Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Hello. Hello, sir. And your name for the listeners.
Is this thing on here?
We did justice to check the levels.
Yeah, we're all using the same mic.
Well, you didn't already guess it. My name is Louisiana Jones.
I don't know how we could have guessed that.
A lot of people know me by my voice.
You do have a very distinctive voice.
I've been to a lot of parts around. Some of the people out around town know me. Anyway, what are we doing?
Well, first things first, Louisiana. It seems like you should take this medallion that we gave you and stick it right in Charlemagne. And tell us about what you do here.
No need to replace the medallion in our laps with a tiny bag of sand. It's freely yours to place.
I've heard that one before. Okay, well, here it is. Way up in the top damn goddamn north Yankee corner up there.
For listeners at home, you just stuck that up there with a bullwhip.
I did.
It was very impressive.
That's what it sounded like.
It's a recreation of the sound.
Yeah, it was a great recreation.
It wasn't close enough to the mic to make the sound, but that is how it sounds.
You're painting a very vivid picture for us and the listeners right now. Can you tell us a little bit more about yourself? You're a very mysterious guy.
Sure, I'll tell you about it. I grew up in a number of different places. Louisiana being the only one I didn't grow up in. And, you know, my father, before he named me, said, I'm gonna name you Louisiana, and you're gonna be the best Louisiana outside of Louisiana, no matter where you go. And that's what I've been doing my whole life.
You've been avoiding Louisiana.
Why would I go to Louisiana when the damn place is named after me? I must not be making a whole lot of sense to you.
No, you're making perfect sense to me.
But there's different kinds of folks, and I'm one kind. I like to go around and do my thing and bring myself into new states. I'd like to go on picking my own crop, so to speak.
I definitely know what that turn of phrase means, and I definitely sympathize with
it. You don't want to shit where you eat, you know?
Not surprised at all to hear that, Louisiana, because you're a known treasure hunter. Though your industry has sort of been besmirched by the warehouse auctioneers and American pickers of the day, your crop is really one from a more noble time. You are the Tomb Raiders, the Relic Hoarders, and the Templar of an age gone past, now brought here to America searching for what scant remnants of history remain here.
Sure, sure. Not a lot whole left to explore on the earth, much left great state of America. I'll tell you something. When you get down to a mystery that's plagued the world and has not yet been solved, and when you feel you got it neck right in your paws, well, you just gotta squeeze until something pops.
Wow, this is giving me goosebumps, Vince, and I want to talk about this mystery a little bit more in a segment that we call Hall Monikers.
Are you happy, listeners?
Yeah, we're fucking doing Hall Monikers.
Your voice has been heard.
Your whiny, bitchy voices have been heard.
The shrill, demanding whine of the forums, I hope, will be sated by Hall Monikers making its triumphant season 3 debut. Re-debut, I guess you would call it.
This is a segment that Vince and I break out when there is a particular intrigue or importance to the name of a town. So we hold it back. We use it only when appropriately. And I know there's people that want us to use it all the time, but we're just not going to do that. This town, it called for it. And we're doing this segment probably about for, what, like 50% spite, Vince, and then 50% because it makes sense.
I think the percentages are a little off. I think it's 40% spite, 50% hey, fuck you, 10% segment relevance.
I can live with that. I can live with that. And hopefully you guys can. Louisiana, obviously Charlemagne, said all together, almost as a portmanteau, reads like the name Charlemagne.
Sure does.
And I know that you've been doing a lot of work to decode this and to figure out how you find the ancient burial grounds. Can you tell us about that?
First of all, call me Lou. Go ahead and just call me Lou. That's what I like to be called.
Oh, I'm sorry. If you would have said that when you introduced yourself, we would have gladly called you Lou. I feel like we've been talking for 10 minutes calling you Louisiana already.
I wouldn't want to tell a lie, introduce myself without my given name. But once I've introduced myself, I'm willing to play around a little bit, have a little fun. You know how I like to do
that. We don't know that.
I really don't.
Oh, you know, you remember. If you would have remembered, you would know.
Can you stop hitting me with your bullwhip, please?
Listen, is it all right if I smoke in here?
We prefer you didn't, but you've already lit 4 different cigars.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Oh, your bullwhip is actually concealing a vape in the handle.
It sure does, ever since 2011.
Wait, whenever you inhale, it goes...
That's right.
You can't hear it, listeners, but trust us, it's doing it.
I was making that noise. Yeah, that wasn't actually the whip. I was just describing.
Again, this is Louisiana making the noise.
It might look like I'm carrying a bullwhip, but those are creations that I make with the vape smoke in my mouth. I find that it's more powerful to create an illusion with the smoke, and that I can do a whole number of different things to trick and deceive people with my smoke, with my vapes. But back to the original question, is great state of Maine. How'd Charlemagne know? How'd he know? He's in the past. We're in the future. I'll tell you something. It's a little thing called common sense, and it's very interesting.
Seems like it. Can you unpack it a little bit more?
Well, sure. Charlemagne's name has a unique characteristic. The back of his name, the back side of his name, usually the ugly side of any name, is the back end, is a pretty word, and a main word. It's a word that tends to mean the heart of something, the main part. And Charlemagne knew, and he left a request in his will, and he said, "When I'm buried, I want to be buried in the main area, because I'm a main kind of guy. I'm your main man. I'm your Charlemagne." And he laid that request, and people took it seriously. And Maine, being the heart of the United States, was the obvious choice to lay his head.
As a historian, forgive me, Louisiana.
It's Lou.
You are a swashbuckler and a trailblazer, but I'm a little more of the bookish sort. When Charlemagne would have said he wanted to be buried in a Maine area, that must have been a more general request, because the sovereign state of the United States is still 750 years off of existing. The state of Maine, another 100 after that.
Sure, but let me tell you something. Charlemagne knew that whatever country would be in power whenever down the road, that at any given time, you're going to refer to the most important place on earth as Maine, because it's the main place. So he had the foresight, the Charla, if you will, to his Maine.
So let me ask you this. If he was so explicit about being buried in Maine, then why is it so hard to find him? Why couldn't Rand find him? Why haven't you been able to find him? I mean, I know you've tried to.
Truth is, he didn't specify. It was up to his burial master, of course, and the long line of burial masters that had come down from the burial master that belonged to Charlemagne, which is a long-standing tradition, based in Maine. It was up to them to decide where they wanted to bury him. Charlemagne had nothing to do with it. So it's up to you to take a greyhound down.
Now, help me understand.
Sure.
Is it not possible, given that this town is not terribly large, terribly oversized, it's not expansive, and there have been a saturation of relic hunters dating all the way back 127 years to our great-great-grandfather, all the way down to you, a famed relic hunter in your own right, and you've been scouring this place for a long time. Is it possible, and forgive me if I speak heresy, that Charlemagne just is not buried here? Perhaps he's buried in southern Germany or northern Italy, where he lived most of his life.
Well, no, the truth is that isn't possible because of the request that Charlemagne laid down toward the end of his life. Yeah, there's just no other way to put it. You know, I was the first man in the United States to recognize that there was a town in the state of Maine called Charla. And that naturally, I put two and two together and said, well, this ought to be the place where Charlemagne was buried. I was the first one to realize that.
Yeah, because our great-great-grandfather, even though he was here and marked this down as one of his top 20 favorite towns, this one being the 12th, he never actually put those two and two together. He was just making a wild accusation.
Well, yes. The town was his favorite for a different reason.
Oh, really?
Do you have any insight? We love to learn about our great-great-grandfather, and though we know a lot, oftentimes it's the guests, the citizens of the towns he came through that know even more than us.
Well, there's a few citizens around here who know a whole lot about him. I'll tell you that much. He loved the women here. That was his power. That was his enjoyment. Old McNally was asexual except when he was in the state of Maine. Did you know that? That's why he came here so damn much, literally.
We've got, I would say, conflicting reports on that. In fact, the last few towns we've been in have actually centered quite a bit around the various lustful endeavors of our great-great-grandfather.
That's just what I had assumed. So I could have been, I could be wrong.
If anything, he was polyamorous and omnisexual. But if, I mean, the man knew what he liked, I think, Vince, is the main takeaway. And if he liked the women here, and he was also maybe preoccupied with a journey and just sort of serendipitously went to the place that Charlemagne was purported to be, I could see that happening with Rand.
Yeah, so Charlemagne inspires a certain kind of animalistic nature in people when they step into the town. It's very strange.
Please. So, Lou, have you done anything to try to find...
Call me Louisiana, please.
I'm sorry. It seems I thought that you would explicitly ask to call you Lou.
No, that wasn't the case. I like to be called by my given name, Louisiana.
Okay, I apologize. Louisiana, what kind of things have you done to find the body of Charlemagne? I know you actually have laid out in front of you a bunch of different rebuses and scarabs and puzzles. Have you attempted any of these?
Well, my first aim was to follow a living scarab. Well, why lay down a scarab if it's not going to move? What you do is you lay down the scarab and you allow it to go where and as it pleases. You follow it. It'll lead you. It'll lead you right to where you want to go. So that's what I did for a long time. Problem was, scarabs move very slowly, and eventually they die.
That's true.
It would have worked if a scarab had ever been able to make the journey. You see, I was closing in on the grave. Each scarab would bring me a little closer, a little here, a little there.
If I could inquire, your scarab supplier, because it's difficult to find, really, one. I couldn't imagine where you would find one, but to find many like that.
Many scarabs.
Yes, in the northeastern United States.
Well, you can't find them there. You'll find them in Egypt. But I spend all kinds of time in Egypt doing the kind of things that I like to do with my antiquities.
So your tactic was to go to Egypt, find a bunch of scarabs, somehow get them through customs back into Maine, even though they're, I'm assuming, would be an invasive species, and then just follow them around as they walk to see if they would lead you to the body of Charlemagne.
Sure. Well, these days it's tough to find a flight that doesn't already connect through Egypt anyway. So it wasn't too bad to go out of the way and stop off for a supply of scarabs and then bring them on down to Maine and let them loose, let them free. Problem is, they never quite brought me to the damn gravesite.
That is, it's truly unfortunate, especially given the exorbitant cost that you must have paid.
Didn't work. I don't know where... I mean, to be quite honest with you, it was a failed plan. It didn't work. I don't know why I thought it was working.
Well, Vince, maybe we'll have a little more insight into maybe some things Rand tried in our next segment.
I think we just might, if we can decipher them. It's a segment we call Random Thoughts. And listeners, this week we've got a treat. It's not just a page from the journal. We've got ourselves our very own Da Vincian Codex. I'm looking at a wooden trapezoid, Elliot. It rotates on both axes.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if we're in a reality or a dream right now looking at this
thing. I think we're in reality. It's just a complicated box, Elliot.
Vince, I'm going to make sure this doesn't fly off the table. Can you grab Rand's old travel journal out of our box? I'm really glad that we have it in this box, by the way, because this town in particular, we've been having to fend off Nicolas Cage by the hour trying to steal his journal. Do you ever run into Nicolas Cage, Louisiana?
Oh, all the time. Goddamn slime balls up my ass every day, trying to get his hands on what I got.
Well, I got my hands on a journal right now. Vince, can you take over the wooden spinning top?
Yes, if I hold this, and then if you, I think, pull out that central pin, which has something written in Mandarin Chinese on it.
Okay, so this seems to align with, let's see, a town number 12 on Rand's journal.
Which... Oh, my mistake. That is not Mandarin. That is the numeral 12. I just mistook it for letters.
Well, put a little grease on it.
Go ahead now, Elliot. Go on, put a little grease on it.
It'll clear it right up. Grease and vinegar.
Well, I'm glad you handed me this ancient Egyptian grease. I'm going to pour it on the page. And, whoa, guys, do you see the ancient Latin appearing on Rand's travel journal?
Oh, whoa!
I'll be damned.
Elliot, it's a good thing that we're both very well-versed in Latin language.
Whoa. I mean, I'm just reading in my head, and I don't really feel so good. I mean, I've been possessed before, as you know, and I feel like this is kind of the same thing happening right now.
Elliot, you haven't been possessed before. The one time...
You told me that I ate some bad kale, but I was possessed.
Hold on now. Did I ever tell you all about the time Rand possessed me, just for a short time.
No, we haven't met. We met one half an hour ago, so no, you have not. You haven't told us.
Well, he did.
So the ghost of Rand McNally possessed you.
It wasn't pleasant, I'll tell you. It wasn't his ghost. He was alive at the time. And he forewent his own vehicular body to enter mine and proceed to take control, at least half control, fighting all the time. And he did it all because of the woman that I was with. Son of a bitch.
I find all this very not plausible, but I... Guys, I do feel a little lightheaded. And I feel like I'm being possessed by him right now. And
Elliot, for the last time, you're taking a whiff of that scarab grease and you're inhaling it pretty directly. Go ahead and ventilate. Let's turn on the fume hood. Let's open the windows.
What is that coming out of his throat?
I am Hades, ancient god of the dead.
Hades is not even Egyptian, Elliot.
I could be also Anubis.
Did you mean Anubis? You meant Anubis. Okay, so you're Anubis.
Yes, I meant Anubis. That is who I am right now. And your futile attempt to uncover the body of Charlemagne have awoken my slumber. And now you've unlocked the three clues to the apocalypse.
Take it easy, Louisiana. He does this occasionally. What is the first clue, Anubis the Destroyer?
The first clue is that an entire star rating has been added to Brendan Fraser's IMDb rating.
Oh, my God.
Whoa, guys, what the hell just happened?
Elliot, I know that you're a moderator for IMDb. This is the least impressive coming of the apocalypse you've ever acted as triggered.
That was real.
Let's look. Let's take a look. Do you have an iPhone, Louisiana? We've had to pawn ours for gas.
By the way, was that Brendan Fraser that I saw in the bathroom earlier, just before we started recording?
There's no way that's possible. He lives in Fresno.
I could have sworn that I had seen Brendan Fraser. Brendan? Brendan!
That may have been Nicolas Cage in a Brendan Fraser outfit, still trying to steal Rand's travel journal.
He thinks he can still get away with that face-off technique, but we've discovered it. It's played out. Shoe cage.
Oldest trick in the book.
All right, I've got your iPhone. I hope you don't mind. I've sort of just lifted it off you here a moment. And, well, would you look at that? 1.5 stars, it's true. Brendan Fraser's IMDb star score has gone up by one full star.
My goodness.
So, I'm not full of shit, Vince. I was possessed because of Rand's journal.
You know, he had his heyday. I mean, he may not be one of the top explorers of the time, but he did a number of good things.
Who are your top explorers of right now, Louisiana, besides you?
The top explorers of the time. Now, I can't put myself on the very top of the list, but I can put myself above Indiana. That's for sure.
The state of Indiana or Indiana Jones?
Both. I would be number 5. The state of Indiana would be number 6. And Indiana Jones would be number 7 for the rankings. The greatest explorers of all time. Of course, you got to go with Ponce. Ponce de Leon. Very good guy. Good, honest guy. Good guy to hang around with. A lot of fun. Good
time.
How
old are you?
Oh, how old am I? I'm old enough. Old enough to drive. Old enough to mess around with your ass. Okay.
I mean, you look like you're in your early 60s. Is that... Am I close?
I would say I was born at some point.
I mean, if you're hanging out with Rand McNally and then also Ponce de Leon.
No, it's Ponce de Leon, Elliot. And I'm pretty sure his recantations about our great-great-grandfather were apocryphal, because unless he's in his late 200s, that's probably not very likely.
I mean, I don't know, Louisiana, what kind of adventures you've been on, what kind of magic you've been exposed to. So I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, unlike Vince.
All kinds of magic. I'm a vampire. I've been around for a long time. I usually don't tell people that, but
I thought I saw you sunbathing shirtless with a ham's beer right before we had to fetch you to make sure you came to this interview.
That was my double. I have a double to make sure that I don't ever get found out for being a vampire. Of course, in the company of just a couple of fellows like you two, I don't mind spilling the beans every now and again. But I have a double.
You realize that you just spilled the beans on a show that thousands of people listen to.
Well, that's all right. Try to work past that, Louisiana, and read this letter from a listener.
You have it here for me?
Yeah, you're holding it.
Oh, yeah, okay. Let me... Oh, my God. It's a big letter. It's just a couple of words, but it's the size of a map that a dad would hold in the car. All it says is, good, sweet? ? What do you think they're trying to wonder?
Good, sweet. This must be another one of this town's classic sweet codes.
Must be a clue to the burial remains of Charlemagne. That's the only way I can interpret it. I see a lot of things around. All over the world, they've left clues. Getting closer all the time.
It strikes me as the possibility that you may be interpreting just things in the world as clues to this mystery.
Nah, I don't believe in a thing called confirmation bias. People like to talk to me about all the time. People say it to me. I don't know what it is.
You know, also, looking over your shoulder at this letter, I hate to do this, but that doesn't say good sweet. That says God's wheat, which is a stalk of wheat that is indigenous to Charlemagne. So maybe that is a clue.
Goodness gracious, must be buried under a wheat field.
You have those here in Charla.
Where were we now? What were we doing? Look at the back of the note.
How did we miss this? It's the size of a dad's map.
There's a whole nother goddamn question. I'll tell you what it says. It says, hey, here's a question for Lou, if you ever have him on the show. Lou, I'm wondering, how many medals have you earned in your lifetime, and of what variety? The answer is 49, and all varieties.
Do you win medals for going on adventures or getting treasures of some kind? Or sure. Are you stealing these medals?
You know, people give away medals more often than you'd think. I have a number of medals given to me by a number of different people for different things that I've done. In fact, your father, Rand, your grandfather.
Great-great-grandfather.
He gave me a medal the time that I found the remains of Charlemagne.
Now hold on just 1 second, Lou. Yeah. Hold on 1 week-picking minute.
I actually received 2 medals from that find. One was from the nation of Italy, and one, of course, from Rand.
Things are kind of all over the place in your stories, first of all, Lou. They're kind of getting incomprehensible.
I'm sorry, Louisiana.
You're saying that you have found the body of Charlemagne, but this whole time we've been saying you haven't.
For a time, I found it. I stumbled upon it late in the night.
And you said that our father, whose name is Martin.
Martin McNally.
That's right. You said he gave you a medal for it. He was an architect, and he lived most of his life in northern Florida.
When I say father, I mean it in the general sense of the term.
Got
it.
Like God.
Meaning anyone older than you who looks like a dad. So there was a man that gave me a medal when I found the remains of Charlemagne. He was the mayor of Charlemagne.
So that means that you found the body of Charlemagne, and then it was in the night, you said, so you lost it again because it was very dark out, and that's why you're still looking for it.
Yes, that is the unfortunate part about it. I found it. I went straight to the medal award ceremony that they had prepared for me, and they had been preparing every night for a long time, just in case.
So everyone was counting on you.
Yes, and I went to celebrate, and, well, I forgot about where the body was.
The height of adventure and intrigue.
But it's not unfindable. Because I found it before.
Well, that's what we're all hoping. And I think we should talk about some other finds that you made. Maybe the initial finding of the body of Charlemagne, maybe a slight blemish on your record. But let's talk about some more, Vince, in a segment we call At Long Lat.
Ooh, listeners, all right. I can already smell the upvote and downvote brigades in the forum. Because we're bringing oil and water together in this episode. Yes, that's right. The At Long Lat contingency, mostly of people who never want to see the segment happen again, and the Hall Monikers contingency, which want to see the segment happen very much more frequently. Now that I'm saying it out loud, those two groups of people would probably get along just fine.
In the age that we live in, Vince, it seems like the internet creates these rifts that are, even though they're kind of saying the same thing in different ways, they're never going to get along. And I think it's our duty to try and bring these things together, but we also hate them as well. So you just can't win.
Yeah, we're not terribly fond of any of our listeners.
Especially me. I hate your listeners. They all suck.
I think for once this episode, I'm agreeing with you, Louisiana. Now, in this episode...
Call me Lou. God damn it. Call me Lou.
Stop whipping us.
Stop striking us with your vape, please, sir. In the interim, At Long Lat is a segment we love to break out when we're in a town that is geographically or cartographically relevant. So perhaps there is a point on the map that is important, or perhaps the local topography or terrain bears certain significance to the town. And this week is no different. We are at a destination where many inferences about local landmarks and latitudes and longitudes have been made. Lou? I believe we're at Lou, right?
Lou does just fine. That's fine. If that's what you want to call me.
Lou it is.
Sure, call me whatever you want. I don't care.
Seems like you do care.
You seem to have cared in the past. Much like a pirate map might have an X that marks the spot, what are some of the spots that have been marked in Sharla that are important to relic hunters?
Well, of course, there's the Hall of Fingers. I should call it the Trough of Fingers.
It's the Hall or Trough of Fingers.
Well, there's a hall that you walk through, but really the fingers are underneath the ground. Let me explain.
I am all ears.
People all over the world want to pay their respects to Charlemagne. In order to do that, there's only one way to really do that. Just cut off your finger and have it buried in Charlemagne. So fingers get sent to us all over the world here at the Finger Institute of Charlemagne. And we bury them in honor of Charlemagne.
Emperor Charlemagne loved to have his feet tickled, so it's sort of like a sign of goodwill if you cut off your finger and they bury it.
Yeah, it's a very interesting tradition. Most of the time you see somebody somewhere, anywhere on the globe, that missing a finger, chances are they sent it to Charla.
You yourself, sir, if I'm welcome to comment, this is an audio program, so your appearance has been left a mystery, much like much in this town. You only have 7 fingers. I'm looking at a single thumb on the left and then one additional finger on the right hand, a little sure. Curled, gnarled, extra pinky.
Well, why keep more than you need?
Waste not, want not.
No need to be greedy. I figured I'd give some of the fingers to Charla in honor, and I think it's paid off. I really do.
Has it, though?
In a spiritual sense, yeah, I think it has. I do think it has. I feel very blessed by the whole ordeal.
Vince, what's a treasure that you've heard about that you are interested in maybe spending some time looking for in our time in Charlemagne?
I'll tell you about it, if you want.
You're going to tell us about the thing that Vince is interested
in? Do you want me to tell you?
I want you to tell me.
Well, I have a guess.
All right, I'll write it down on this piece of paper, and then I'll write it in this decoded invisible ink, and then we'll apply lemon juice to it after you say it.
We'll do like a Johnny Carson thing here.
Hey, Elliot, I know you do a pretty mean Johnny Carson. Let's break it out. I've written it down. Now you go ahead and guess, and then my brother will play host.
Hold on. What is this podcast? What are we doing here?
It is an interview starring you, a prominent member of a small town in America which our great-great-grandfather has visited.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, anyway, back to the guests. Well, I think it's probably the cranberries of Notre Dame.
Okay, Vince, let's see what we got here. Okay, all you wrote was, this guy is insane.
No, your thumb is covering up the bottom. It says, please help.
Oh, you did write it in red, which is the color of cranberries, though, so I'm going to give that one to Lou.
Lou, you got it.
Yeah, figured I would.
So what are the cranberries of Notre Dame?
The cranberries of Notre Dame are a band that formed in Notre Dame, France.
So they're like a Cranberries cover band.
No, they're the original Cranberries. Cranberries of Notre Dame.
You're just talking about the band.
Or as they would say in France, Cranberries of Notre Dame.
I didn't know you were fluent in French, too. Wow.
Yes, I am.
You're a student of so many languages and treasures. You're very impressive.
Well, I'm not really a student.
More of a professor.
Call me Louisiana. I'm a teacher of many things. I wouldn't go so far as to call myself a student anymore. But I will say this. The best teachers are students of teachers. Meaning they're students of themselves. They're constantly teaching themselves all the time. So you can't really call them students. But then again, there is sort of a duality to most things, isn't there?
That's right.
Sort of like the shimmering light of a relic. You have these very fleeting moments of wisdom shrouded by a lot of vagueness. But I think that's really what we have to look for in treasure hunters, you know, that you have to be keen enough to spot those little idiosyncrasies that allow you to find what you're really looking for.
I view language like a shotgun shell blast. You just kind of throw everything out that you can, and you hope that a little something sticks.
Speaking of shotgun, I think we have the perfect segment for you, Louisiana. What do you say, Vince?
Elliot, I'll have to say that's actually one of probably the top 5 segues we've ever had.
What about that time you got a segue at the office?
We don't have an office. We operate out of our mobile home / RV. It's also our studio.
I did try to trade in our RV for a segue once, it proved very hard to travel around the country with both Vince and I and all our recording equipment on it, though.
We all do hard things. I think it would have been worth it if you'd believed. Show's bad character. Actually,
it's a harsh criticism.
This segue slipped down the list.
Yeah,
lost ground, Elliot, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, it really has gone off the rails and kind of taken the wind out of my sails here. So let's just cut over to our next segment. Did you know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid-fire trivia segment where we fire five fast facts about the town we're staying in back and forth. Elliot, I can see you chomping at the bit, quite literally. I know you're biting the vape handle of the bullwhip. My mistake.
It's hard to resist.
It is. I mean, it has several of your bite marks in it. I was just seeing if maybe our teeth matched up and that was a clue or something. But I do have the first Did You Know fact for us, guys. Did you know that Charlemagne is the new headquarters of Brooks Brothers Men's Apparel?
Oh, I love this store. Can we stop on our way out?
Yeah, Louisiana, I know that you get a lot of your clothes there. The reason is because in order to be a treasure hunter, relic hunter, adventurer, you are required to have a leather satchel and a leather jacket of some kind.
It's very unfortunate.
Yeah, I mean, if you haven't found a treasure that you can turn into money to spend to buy one of these very high-end bags, it's kind of like you're shit out of luck. I mean, you need the satchel to get the treasure, but then you need the treasure to buy the satchel.
Yeah, that's the problem. But sometimes you'll find the treasure in the satchel, so it's sort of a reverse osmosis kind of thing, if you know what I mean.
You truly are a teacher of students, and maybe a student of teachers who teach students.
I've made most of my money in my career just by buying satchels at Brooks Brothers, because you never know when you'll pick just the right one, full of treasure.
They say you gotta spend money to make money.
Yep.
Louisiana, do you have the next Did You Know fact for us?
Did you know that candy was invented in Charlemagne?
Wow, just general candy was invented here.
All of candy.
First piece of candy ever consumed, ever invented, ever dreamt of, ever shoved up a butthole was right there in Charlemagne.
What kind of candy was it?
It was just a general red droplet of hard candy.
Oh, I love General Red droplets.
Yes. General Red's droplets. This, by the way, this program is sponsored by General Red's droplets.
Hey, we'll tell the listeners who our programs are sponsored by, okay?
General Red's droplets, red candy. I'm sorry I had to bring that in. That's my company.
Oh, so you own this candy company.
Shameless plug. I'm sorry. Shameless plug. But it was the first candy ever invented. I happen to own it. We've really gone on a rabbit trail here.
You know, I was under the impression that candy was much older than that. But it's come to my attention that the power of words have been redefined here in Charlemagne. Much like Charlemagne predilected his own fate in being buried somewhere else in a way that at the time would have been incomprehensible, his language, which was Roman, a form of Latin, it wouldn't have even made any sense for him to be buried somewhere named after him.
Now, that's a very interesting point you bring up, and it's something I'd never thought of.
And you know what? That's all right, because language is flexible. Much like the word candy probably describes something that was invented before even written history, it also describes something that you came up with here in Charlemagne. And I've got another Did You Know fact that's kind of along those same lines.
Oh, great.
Well, what is it?
Well, did you know, along with the bones of the great Charlemagne here in Charlemagne, there's also a Holy Grail hidden somewhere in the town.
Vince,
the Holy Grail?
The Holy Grail, in that it is a Holy Grail.
Oh, it's just one of them.
Yeah, it's actually an old Stanley Cup. That was that was won by the Boston Bruins, and when their team captain came up to open a CVS ribbon-cutting ceremony here in Maine, Charlemagne specifically, he lost it out of his the back of his sports car.
Wait a second. Louisiana, when you came in here, I thought you were just drinking coffee out of a really fancy Stanley thermos. Is that your Stanley Cup Holy Grail coffee thermos?
Sure is.
Wow. Problem solved, Vince. He's already found it.
And drinking coffee out of it's not the only thing I do with it.
I don't want to know what else you do with it, Louisiana.
It can do a whole number of things. You can use it as a sort of a portable bathroom of sorts if you need. You know, you can fill it up nice and tall and step in for a foot bath. So I use it for a lot of different purposes, and it's always coming in handy. That's why I just had to take it. I saw it, I took one look at it, and said, I've never seen a cup quite that big. And I figured Stanley wouldn't mind if I took it and tried it out for a while.
I didn't know that, guys. But did you know that Charlemagne has an equivalent of the Southwest's tumbleweeds here?
What are they now?
I'm sure you know, because you probably have to avoid them all the time. They're giant boulders that roll through town that you have to run away from. There's even different traffic signs and signals that denote them.
Ding, 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 ding. If you're keeping track at home, listeners, that is our fourth consecutive Did You Know with a tumbleweed-based Did You Know fact.
Some of the best things are tumbleweed-based.
We agree, and I know our listeners agree. So if you wrote in and guessed four for the number of episodes in a row that we would say tumbleweed-based factoids, then you might be right, because we don't actually know what we're going to say next week. So it still could be five, but keep listening.
Have you guys had tumble milk? Made only here in Charlotte.
So is this like one of those these boulders rolls over a cow and all the milk squirts out?
Yes, essentially. It's tumble milk. It's a healthy alternative to milk. Still comes from a cow, but it is a different type of milk.
It's a healthy alternative because the cow is essentially brutally smushed by a giant boulder.
Well, that's one way to say it.
I think that's kind of the only way to say it. But, you know, if you have a different alternative, that's okay with me too. Louisiana, you seem to have alternative thoughts on a lot of different things.
And it does seem like you have at least one more alternative trivia fact for us, Lou. Could you read that for us?
Did you know that the town hall of Charlemagne was built by Stanley, the same Stanley, the guy that does the cup.
By Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Cup.
By Stan Lee.
Stan Lee, as you know, listeners, not only is he the patron saint of Marvel comic books, he also is a avid goldsmith who makes carafes, bowls, decanters, and the famous golden Stanley Cup.
He does.
Named after him, misspelled, error of his own doing on the very first one he ever made.
He's such a humble guy. Wouldn't want anybody to know it, but it's his hobby. He makes the Stanley Cup. Awards it every year to the best team that can play on the ice and do the ice dancing. It's really a special thing. It's kind of his little baby that he brings into the world. Of course, he lives right here in Charlemagne, and you know, he built the town hall.
He and Jack Kirby built the town hall in their own image, so it's a giant bust of their heads together. Putting their minds together in an almost symbolic gesture to find that ancient burial ground of Charlemagne.
But have you ever checked for the body under City Hall, Louisiana?
Oh my God. I had never thought of that.
Well, listeners, now's as good a time as any to move to the end of our show. I can see the vape pen is being put away. The pickaxe is being taken out of its holster on the back of your, is this the cargo shorts?
Ha! Cha!
The pickaxe also appears to be a vape pen.
Of course, of course. Listeners, so with time of the essence, let's kick it over to our final segment. It's called Wish You Were Here.
Now, listeners, as you know, Wish You Were Here used to be our audio postcard from us to you. Now it's our postcard from us to Rand in whatever town we're visiting. This, of course, is Charlemagne, his 12th favorite all-time town. I have no idea why it would have been, but regardless, it goes something like this. Dear Rand, wish you were here in Charlemagne.
A town known for its mysteries. Chief among them, is this the final resting place of the great Holy Roman Emperor?
A town cloaked in the fire of Charlotte. The Charlotte Hornets themselves.
A town that is constantly under the keen eye of one of the greatest adventurers, apparently, of our time. Louisiana Jones.
Lou Jones.
Sorry, Lou Jones.
A town where a little hard work might find you uncovering relics, or hockey memorabilia, or the architectural works of a comic book mogul.
A town worshipped by the fingers of the world.
In a town that X marks the spot on a map. And in our hearts.
So, from these parts to yours, we're signing off.
can you say the actual line?
From these parts to yours, I'm Lou Dobbs. Moneyline.
What the fuck? Okay. All right. Good enough for me.
Has this all transpired? Are we finished? I was just getting warmed up.